we wake up every morning hoping that the morning that we wake up, that somehow we are going to be out of this blasé Met fandom that has now basically rolled into one ginormous depression ball that we're all living together. And there's a moment in every game where you just say to yourself, something's going to happen and it's going to be negative. Whether you're trying to get a guy out at third base on a sacrifice bunt, you can't do that. So there's no run prevention. Whether you're $1 million, multi-million dollar closer, $13 million closer can come on the field and actually do his job. Can't do it. Can't do it. When you have a highly touted Japanese pitcher in your pitching rotation and he comes out and he gets bombed immediately, can't do it. We don't really have a first baseman now. Our big signings, one's hurt, one's protected, and two have not lived up to the back of their baseball card. And it leads really into one depressing situation after the next. And I don't want to be depressed. I don't want to come in here and feel like I'm carrying the burden of a Met fan. Because I know how the Met fan feels this morning. I know how they felt yesterday morning. I know how they felt a week ago. It is just completely a disaster that has unfolded in front of our eyes. And this disaster, and if I hear one more time, it's only April. It's one thing, it's only April. But 12 games losing streak is not an anomaly. Yeah, that is something that is real. That is something that you could look back in the history, in the annals of baseball.
That's right.
And say, when you have a 12-game losing streak in the month of April, most likely, you're going to stink the whole year.
Well, I'd like CBS Sports Network to put back up the graphic they just had so we could read it to the radio audience here. The Mets have had 12-game losing streaks several times in their history, and they've ended up with 40 wins, 65 wins, 51 wins, 67 wins, 40. Well, they already have 40 again because it's 1962 because they had 17 also in that series, and then also 75 wins. So when they've had losing streaks like this, they've been at the bottom of the standings, the worst team in baseball. Obviously, you have to go all the way back to 62 and 63 to see some of this stuff as well. The most recently was 2002, which is one of the teams I mentioned.
They weren't spending $380 million but they on were, a roster.
Yeah, I know, and which makes this even worse. In 2002, yeah, they were spending a significant amount of money. They were right up there at the top of the league when it came to payroll, and they were trying to, after making it to the World Series in 2000 and having a down year in 2001, trying to come back and capitalize on Mike Piazza still being around and in his prime. They go out and get Mo Vaughn, and they stunk. They were just absolutely awful. And, yeah, I mean, this is the worst team money can buy has always been the moniker for the Brett Saberhagen, Vince Coleman, Bobby Bonilla, Eddie Murray Mets, Jeff Torborg as the manager. We are on all these years later. We are on a ride to the worst team money can buy 2.0 that could be even worse than what we saw. Yeah. I mean, 75. I think they had 75 wins that year, or 78 wins, whatever it was. I mean, are the Mets getting to that at this point?
We are on the hamster wheel of turds.
Yep.
One phrase that you have coined over the years, and we are right here, right now, in the middle of it, and it is depressing. There is no other way.
Well, it's gone from anger to sad. I mean, you're right. That's sort of the feeling is you get, you're frustrated, you're angry, and now it's just like, what are you supposed to do? Like, you're out of emotions, you're out of screaming, you've gotten it all out of you. Like, it's like, all right, well, I guess I'm going to have to do something else at 7 o'clock every day for the rest of the baseball season because I can't watch this team because
right.
They make me sad.
And you're right. McClain was dealing there yesterday at the beginning, especially, and Lindor hits that home run, but, three hits only after that home run. They had four hits yesterday.
Yeah.
I mean, that's depressing.
Yeah.
It really is. I mean, just the whole way it looks on TV, the whole way that it's being presented, the whole way that we as fans are thinking about the team. I mean, how many people yesterday said something to you about the Mets?
I mean, it's nonstop.
It's ridiculous.
It is nonstop. And I understand why, and I'm not complaining about it. Met fans need to get it out. They need to vent. But, yeah, I mean, it's you can't get away from it right now. It's not supposed to be like this. It really isn't. You know, we're supposed to be excited about this team. We're supposed to be thinking about, you know, what they can accomplish. I mean, it is just laughable to think back that the Mets had the second highest win total, according to the odds makers and you know, FanDuel Sportsbook, going into the season. They had the second best odds to make it to the World Series in the National League, only to, of course, the LA Dodgers. This is what would they, people looked at this team and said, the best chance for a team to take down the Dodgers in the National League before the season starts, we believe, is the New York Mets. They are the worst team in the game.
So I would say, I would have to say, out of all the teams in the tri-state area, the big four sports, the hardest team to play for is the New York Mets. I believe that. And I believe that the fan base can be the loudest simply because there are so many games. And they're not afraid to literally boo the hell out of their team right to their face. And, you know, we saw that yesterday with Devin Williams, who's been an unmitigated disaster as the closer of the New York Mets. Now, we could all sit here and say Edwin Diaz is out for 3 months. Maybe they caught a little bit of lightning in a bottle by signing Devin Williams. But if the guy can't do his job and he can't get a pitch over the plate and he's walking guys, I mean, that to me is a guy that just can't handle it. I don't know what to tell you. Maybe he needs to go back to Milwaukee. Maybe he needs to go pitch for the Twins. Maybe he needs to go pitch for Kansas City. I mean, because the way that he performed yesterday and the way that the fans in the stadium reacted, and we at home were all reacting the same way, by the way.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you heard Gary Cohen in his voice when he walks in a run. I mean, he spoke. That tone that he had spoke for every Met fan that was watching the game. Just disbelief, frustration, anger, everything, sadness, all wrapped into one, as we've been talking about. And, you know, I thought, too, you know, another, speaking of pitching, and you're talking about the broadcast, but something very interesting that Ronnie had said after the Byron Buxton home run that McClain gave up. So he's pitching him inside, and they were like a couple of pitches that came really close to hitting Buxton. And Ronnie goes back pitch by pitch, and he's watching this, and he goes, you know, these two guys were teammates on the World Baseball Classic team. And you could see on that last pitch that was up and in, Nolan McClain, you could read his lips. He goes, my bad, to Buxton. So the next pitch, nowhere near up and in, out over the plate, bang, home run. And Ronnie goes, listen, I get that's your buddy, but he knows Buxton's been around for a long time. You tell him my bad, that next pitch is not going to be up and in, and he's ready to hack. He did. He hits a home run. He goes, it's nice that you're buddies, but we don't need that type of stuff.
Do you think that when Buxton
that was
crossed,
fascinating.
Do you think when Buxton crossed home plate, they looked back at McClain and said, my bad? No, I don't think so. I mean, like, this is Nolan McClain. He's got to learn.
Yeah, he was great. I know
exactly what
it was.
Ronnie,
really interesting.
Yeah, but what Ronnie was saying was true. I mean, like, you're out there, it's you against the world. And none of these guys are your buddies. That's the thing. Like when Francisco Lindor strikes out against Shohei Ohtani.
Yeah. And he's smiling.
And he's smiling at the guy. Like, you know, I'm like, you know, that's annoying. It's annoying to me. I want my pitcher to be a bulldog. I want him to be Tom Seaver. I want him to be Nolan Ryan. I want him to be, and look, those guys gave up home runs too, don't get me wrong. But I don't necessarily know that they ever apologized to anybody for anything.
Yeah, I know. So that's it.
Curt Schilling ever, did he ever apologize? Did Roger Clemens ever apologize?
Well, I was
anybody?
Just about to say Roger Clemens, because, of course, his son is in the game last night for the Twins, and he's a Twins player, and thought about him too. No. So that's a learning experience for him, but it's sort of like it encapsulizes the entire thing that's going on with the Mets right now. Is they're not respected. They're laughed at. The Twins social media team puts out this post last night. Things you can get in a dozen. Donuts, bagels, and Mets losses in a row or something. It's like, you know, I mean, all right, just everybody just pound on the Mets. And then does the clubhouse care? Does that bother them? Are they annoyed by this? I don't know.
It has to.
I have no idea what's going on. I mean, I just hear the same garbage out of them every single time. And all right, so they're waiting for Juan Soto to come back. Juan Soto's going to come back. What if you lose another four in a row? I mean, at some point, there has to be a message sent from the general manager who put this slop together and the owner who should be absolutely apoplectically mad over the money that he has spent and the return on his investment that he's getting, where something drastic needs to be done to say this isn't acceptable!